Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for reading that. It was kind of edited highlights of Acts chapter 10. If we'd read the whole thing, we'd be here for a long time. But it's a really, really important passage where Peter is challenged by a dream that God gives him to change his whole worldview and then come and visit Cornelius. And so I want to look at this morning the God who surprises. Now, I don't know whether you're the kind of people that like surprises. Could probably divide the room in terms of personality type according to people who like surprises. So if you like surprises, you want to raise your hand? Yeah. If a surprise is the worst thing in the world for you, raise your hand. Yes. Yeah, Alan's learnt that. Yeah. I just want to show you something about surprises.
Supplies. I said send supplies.
So there are good and bad times to have surprises. But we are divided, as we found out, by those people who like surprises and those people who don't. But what all of us really need is to know that we've been really heard, isn't it? And today's passage tells us about a God who not only hears us all, but also surprises us. So a bit of background. So the very beginning of the story of the church and how the Holy Spirit is at work in it is found in the book of Acts. It's like a historical diary, really, of what God is doing after Jesus has gone back to heaven and the Holy Spirit has come. And the Roman officer that we hear about sounds like quite a good all-round guy, doesn't he? He's described as devout, as God-fearing, someone who prays, who gives money to the poor. And yet, what we have to understand, if we're going to understand the radical nature of this story, is that he embodied the total opposite of what was acceptable to Peter and the church at that time. The church at that time was made up of people who had been Jews and who had followed Jesus and thrown their lot in with Jesus, but they were still very much a branch of the Jewish nation and church. And Peter was a good Jew, which means that he had the benefit of 2,000 years of theology that told him that if you weren't Jewish, the promises of God just weren't for you. Notice I say theology, because what we learn from the Old Testament is, in fact, that God's agenda was distinctly more radical than that all the way along. He was busy dealing with people and using all sorts of people who were outside the chosen people. But for Peter, in terms of his teaching in the synagogue, in terms of the kind of political ethno situation that he found himself in, this guy, this centurion, is not just an outsider to his faith, but he is also an invader of his land. Now, we live on an island where we haven't had that experience for hundreds and hundreds of years. But I want you to imagine if the Second World War had turned out differently and we had indeed been invaded. How would we feel about the Nazis who would have come and ruled our nation? I doubt whether we would have felt particularly warm towards them. This is the situation that Peter finds himself with the Romans. They are not nice occupiers. the Romans were the enemy. And this one might be a godly man, but that wouldn't change the fact that his army were cruelly oppressing Peter's own people and using their promised land for their own ends. And that wasn't just about unfair taxes or oppression. There had been several uprisings in Peter's lifetime. He would have known many, many people crucified before he saw Jesus crucified. This was a cruel place to live. Now, I suppose, having spent 3 years with Jesus, Peter might have had a bit of a heads up that having clear rules about who is in and who is out of God's kingdom might not work anymore. But even Jesus, who made a point of mixing with all the wrong people all the time, made it quite clear that he had come to the Jewish nation first. So what we have here in this conversation between Peter and this absolute outsider is an event literally of seismic proportions. In one visit and his subsequent sermon, 2,000 years of belief goes up in smoke and the church completely changes direction. Now, you can read Acts and you can read Galatians for the times when they went back on that and had a bit of a wobble, as I think we all would have done. But this moment seriously changed their attitude. The good news that had been only for the chosen few now appears to be open literally to anyone. The Holy Spirit of Jesus shows Peter in the most direct and visual way that race, politics, or even religion are no barrier for him. So what is the good news for us today? Well, I think the first thing we can learn from the life of Cornelius is that God hears everyone. It's a well-known truth that whatever people say they believe about God, most people pray at some point in their lives. It may be the sort of prayers that get sent up in an emergency or when we really want something, but sooner or later, most of us try prayer. It seems that we are all programmed to reach out to something higher and stronger than ourselves. I think this point was brought home to me incredibly powerfully when our adopted daughter moved in with us, having grown up in the most godless family you could perhaps imagine, and told us that for some years now she had been praying to God for a family. Where does that come from? That innate desire to connect with something higher, stronger, greater, more loving than we perhaps experience. And Cornelius was no different. Despite being a relatively powerful man, he felt the need for prayer. Not only that, but although he wasn't sure about the God he was praying to, he also felt compelled to change his life and his family. Luke, the author of Acts, a very, very complete historian, tells us that he was devout and he and his family were God-fearing. That was quite a stand to take if you were a Roman in those times. And that they also lived out that change of heart, and they gave to those in need. And I think Cornelius is like so many people we all know. He's reaching out for something better, longing to connect with something or someone, and actually doing a pretty good job of living a good life. How many people do we know like that? And it's very, very easy for us church folks to be a bit sniffy about people like Cornelius. I mean, you know, he's not really ticking all the boxes, is he? He hasn't joined the local synagogue or properly converted to Judaism, which would have been an option open to him. You could say he was almost hedging his bets. Where was his real commitment? And yet, the message that he graciously gets from an angel, no less, is that God has been listening to his prayers and looking at his gifts for the poor and is pleased with them. You know, sometimes I think we forget that God is so much more generous and gracious than we are. that he's so much more ready to hear our prayers than we think he is. Here is this well-meaning but completely unorthodox guy, and God is so pleased with him that he actually sends an angel to tell him face to face. Not only that, but he tells Cornelius that he has a plan for revealing more of himself to him, and that the Jewish chap down the road is just the person to show him the way. See, God, the same God who has been calling his chosen people into a special relationship with him for 2,000 years, has heard the simple prayers of an ordinary soldier. God hears. The rest of the world might be distracted by their phones or the latest thing on Instagram or what we're going to do about Brexit, but God hears. He is actively listening to our prayers, regardless of how much or little faith we have when we pray them. I wonder this morning what prayers you are praying that you need to know that God has heard. Secondly, second bit of good news is that God breaks down barriers and prejudice. If we are the least bit unsure of what a big deal it was for Peter to visit Cornelius, he certainly leaves us in no doubt with his opening words on arriving. In verse 28, I'm going to read it to you again. Peter told them, "You know it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or even to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me." It's not actually the most tactful greeting I've ever heard when you're invited into someone's house. Cornelius is also breaking down a few barriers by just inviting Peter. There's animosity and prejudice on both sides of the coin here. But, of course, Cornelius also has the power to do something about it. He is with the occupying force, and Peter, with all his usual tact and diplomacy, walks in telling him that he's unclean. I don't think Peter ever had a dazzling career in the diplomatic service ahead of him. We know that, don't we, by reading the Gospels. And yet we have to understand Peter's predicament here. God had literally asked him to do something that all his life he had been taught was forbidden, that it would contaminate him, that it would make him unclean, unacceptable to God. Peter would have been told, since he was early enough to hear the stories, that Gentiles, non-Jews, were unclean, and that to meet with them or enter their homes would make you unclean. And yet here he is, at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and after a direct message from God in a dream, standing in the home of this confused man, breaking every law he ever learned. God is breaking down ancient barriers in the space of an afternoon. He is casting aside old presumptions and prejudices and opening the way for the church to really be born. Now, we are living in times when boundaries and barriers, differences and prejudices are raising their ugly heads once more. Even worse, they are doing this under the cover of sometimes so-called respectable Christianity. Do not, friends, let anyone convince you that this is what God is about. Because on this day, in Caesarea, barriers are falling down, and it is only human beings that have put them up again. What barriers might God need to break down for you this morning? For you to understand that God loves you, that God has sent his son for you, that that precious son died for you. There is no barrier big enough that God can't break it down. The third bit of good news is that God interrupts us. Now, most of us don't like to be interrupted, do we? And if you live with a small child, then it is an everyday reality that you will be asked questions and interrupted. And some of us, when we're grown-ups, are still really bad at interrupting, aren't we? Perhaps our brains work so fast that we are already thinking of the next thing we want to say whilst that other person is talking. I know I can be really, really guilty of that, that if you get into a really, really heated conversation, you're trying to think of the next thing you want to say, and it's so easy to interrupt. And it's never nice being interrupted, is it? It doesn't make you feel valued or welcomed or heard or listened to. And as preachers, let me tell you, we can turn into people that feel we should never be interrupted. How many other people in life get to stand here and talk uninterrupted for 20 minutes? Or maybe a bit more. Every week, without anyone else getting a word in. I think Boris would dream of that, don't you? So imagine Peter's shock when halfway through his amazing sermon, it is not the uneducated Gentiles that interrupt him, but God himself. The Holy Spirit has the cheek to not wait until Peter's finished his sermon, but to pour into Cornelius and his family and his household way before Peter's even got to the moment when he's going to do the altar call. How annoying is that? You know, sometimes we all need interrupting. Sometimes God has to do something drastic to get our attention. Maybe we are so busy telling God things or even just being busy with our own lives that God needs to interrupt us and bring us up short. Maybe this service today and Joe and Malcolm's testimony and baptisms are an interruption for you. Maybe you were quite happy going along with your own views of life, and this event has not just interrupted your usual Sunday, but it has interrupted your thoughts as well. Well, if that's the case, then we need to take a leaf out of Peter's book, because far from being annoyed at God's interruption, he stands amazed at the goodness of God and leads Cornelius and his household into the water of baptism. Having been interrupted in his theology, his prejudices, and now even his sermon, Peter recognizes that God is doing a new and exciting thing and shows the latest members of God's church how they can seal their membership in baptism. I wonder, will you let God interrupt you today? What does he need to break into in your life to speak to you today? And lastly, the good news is that God surprises us. Peter isn't the only person who is witnessing these amazing events at Cornelius' house. He has brought some Jewish Christians with him, and Luke tells us that they were astonished at what was unfolding before their eyes. You see, these people had had a lifetime of following God. They would have been brought up in the synagogue, and then they had 3 years with Jesus, and yet God is still surprising them. If you talk to any follower of Jesus here today, they will tell you that God is still surprising them. And if they don't, perhaps they have lost the knack of seeing what he is doing. God's love surprises us. He surprises us with his generosity, with his outrageous grace, with his ability to reach out to the most unlikely and, frankly, undeserving people. Have you ever had that annoying thing happen in your life where you are praying for people who you think are so close to coming to know God, and then someone who's not even on your radar becomes a Christian. We had that when we first moved to Essex and Alan started in his surgery. We were praying really hard for his colleagues. And some of them were quite difficult and some of them were easy, and we thought, they're so close to knowing God. And then outrageously, God reached the husband of one of his partners, who seemed so off the radar. I hadn't got a clue how that happened. And meals out with Alan's practice turned into this guy sharing about what would happen to Alpha. That is so annoying when God does that. When God surprises you and completely reaches someone who seems so unlikely. Sometimes he surprises us by challenging us. Jo knew that surprise when, in the midst of her life of following Jesus, he asked her to be baptized. He challenged her to be baptized. Malcolm knew it as he felt God calling him back into relationship with him and surprised him by not being angry, but by showing him love and welcome. What might God surprise you with if you let him? How might he shake up your preconceptions and break through your prejudices? How might he surprise you by interrupting your life and bringing you good news? Well, the God who heard Cornelius hears you and he hears me today. The silent prayers you may have been sending up for years have not fallen on deaf ears. This God who hears you longs to break down the barriers between you and his love. He longs to interrupt the hurt and the disappointment of our lives and to surprise us with joy. The only question this morning is, will you let him?